My name's Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. When I'm not planning my holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Florida and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are goofy for Goofy or daft about Donald, then this is the podcast for you. Or if you're the Disney novice just thinking about maybe your first Walt Disney World holiday, or you're currently at the planning stages and you still refer to Epcot as that one with the big golf ball, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans from around the UK to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, I'll be catching up with Mark. As a regular Disney visitor, he had to wait until he was older for something very magical to happen that he'd been waiting for ages.
It was the greatest. You know, it's one of those things that you wait your whole life for, and it happens.
I'm also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions. We'll get the latest news and gossip from the park. And if you're heading over to Orlando over the next few days, like Cece on Twitter, who is heading to Animal Kingdom Lodge this weekend. I'm so jealous. We'll get you all the essential information you need to know. And make sure you keep in touch. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are at PodMagical. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. I've got loads of questions to get through this week, including this from Jess over on Twitter. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter and drop your questions through there. He was looking for some hotel inspiration, trip number two. The first one was a bit of an extravagant honeymoon. So this time we're going back, but I'm taking my sister and her boyfriend, late 20s, early 30s. Bit of hotel inspiration. Well, if you are staying at Walt Disney World, you're looking for a Walt Disney World resort, I'd go straight down the middle. I go to a moderate resort. I go to Port Orleans French Quarter. The good thing about that is you're still getting all the Disney charm. It's just a beautiful resort, but it's also the smallest one. So in terms of getting around, because sometimes the resorts are massive and you're getting on resort buses to go to the parks and it's going to stop off three or four times, like Caribbean Beach is one of those. Great resort, but it's just massive. Port Orleans French Quarter, it's nice, it's quirky. You've got Riverside over the other side. It looks beautiful. You've got great food there. You've got the boat that takes you to Disney Springs and only one bus stop. So if you're looking for a smaller resort, then have a look at Port Orleans French Quarter. I think you'd like that as well, especially in adults. You're not too far from Disney Springs. If you want to push the boat out a little bit further, because you've got a little bit more money, maybe Yacht and Beach, because then you can walk it to Epcot and there's only a 15-minute walk over to Hollywood Studios. A little bit more expensive. Always remember that. If you're pushing the boat out, Yacht Club. Have a great time. Jess, good luck with your planning. Let me know how you get on. Also, hello to Amy Talbert over on Twitter. New follower. Thanks for following us. Loves the podcast. Any tips for wheelchair users at Walt Disney World? I'm massively worried that I won't be allowed on the majority of the rides. Went years ago to Paris. It's my third visit. And then I wasn't allowed to get on Peter Pan's flight anymore. And the great thing is about Walt Disney World, and I know this firsthand because I've been to somebody who's needed a wheelchair. It's probably the greatest place on earth for accessibility. First up, it's flat because you get a lot of people in wheelchairs. You've got a lot of parents with buggies. So everything needs to be flat and not many stairs. So from the moment you get there, all the resorts have all got accessible rooms with accessible showers. If you're worried about somewhere to stay on property, pretty much every resort, whether it's the moderates or the deluxe or even the more budget end of the scale over at Walt Disney, that's catered for. And then getting around, all the transportation, every single bus has got a wheelchair ramp and the driver will help you on and off. The boats, the new cable car systems, apparently you can get straight on with a wheelchair. Then when you're at the parks, even if you're not in a wheelchair, you can either rent a wheelchair or an ECV. If you want to hire one from a company, and they'll bring that to your resort and Disney will help you with that. Or if you're just in the parks, maybe it's getting a little bit too much, you can hire a wheelchair again, or an electric wheelchair at the parks to get around. When it comes to parades and fireworks, you've got places to stand that are designated for wheelchair users. Shows like Beauty and the Beast over at Hollywood Studios, all the shows have got wheelchair zones where you can go and sit. The only question is, and I think this is what you're worried about, is the actual rides, the majority of the rides, physically getting on and off rides. I can tell you that some of the attractions do have particular vehicles, ride vehicles that are made for wheelchairs. So, for example, It's a Small World. If you're in a wheelchair, there's one or two boats that have got specially built on ramps so you can just stay in the wheelchair and put the wheelchair straight on. Some of the others, they might ask you if you can get out of the wheelchair and slide. I know Seven Dwarfs Mine Train have got adapted ride vehicles where you could just kind of like slide from your chair into the ride vehicle. Other things you will actually physically have to get out. I know you mentioned Peter Pan's Flight. Peter Pan's Flight is one of them where, again, you have to physically get out of the wheelchair and into the ride vehicle. Obviously, take as much time as you want. That's what the cast members are there for, and they will help you do this. And don't think, oh no, I've only got 20 seconds to get on and off this. This is your holiday. But I'd say, in terms of getting around, Walt Disney World is probably one of the best places to go. I dealt with Virgin Holidays last time when we went because we needed an accessible room. And there was somebody at Virgin Holidays who worked specifically for disability access over at Disney. So it's well worth contacting Virgin Holidays, probably some of the other holiday companies as well. Also, Walt Disney World themselves, if it's questions about each individual attraction, they've got a specific email. So you can email them if you've got any questions before you book. But I think the majority of the attractions, they do go out of their way to make sure everyone can have as magical time as possible. If you've got any questions, then drop me a line, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, @PodMagical. And if you are heading over to the parks, don't forget to tag us in your photographs. We'll get the latest weather and we'll find out how the crowds are looking at the moment, and we'll get the latest news from the parks. But first up, it's time to join this week's guest. We share our memories with other people who love Walt Disney World every week, and this week is Mark. So what is it you love, Mark, about Walt Disney World?
What do I not love about Disney World? I love absolutely everything, but what really does it for me is the little things. It's the details. It makes you feel like you're in this whole other world. There's nothing out of place. And that's, I think, what I really, really love about Disney World is that it is. It's a world of its own. You forget about everything that's going on in the world around you, and you're just in this magical, happy place. And it's just spectacular.
Can you remember the first time you went?
So I went when I was 4 going on 5, way back in 1990. So my memories are very, very vague, and they're kind of bolstered by the family photo album. There's just a few little glimpses from that first trip that I remember, mostly of my Mickey Mouse shorts and matching shirt, and just kind of walking around Mickey's birthday land, which is now the Storybook Circus. But yeah, it's just that glimpse in my memory of seeing like the castle for the first time. I just remember the Magic Kingdom, and that's all I remember is the Magic Kingdom. I know we did all the parks back then. Even when I was like 4, it was Cinderella Castle that I remembered.
It's funny because we get a lot of questions, people going, oh, is like 3 or 4 too young to take kids because they won't remember it? But you're saying it's good because you can look back at the photographs.
Especially this day and age with digital photographs and video, you know, it's so much easier to create those memories. Back then it was a roll of film and I've got 30 photos and that's it. I hear that question a lot as well. What is a good age for children to go? And I will always say, look, I went 4 going on 5 and it was perfect, you know. I don't remember everything, and I remember the feeling and how happy I was being there.
So when you have your first kids, how old will they be when you'd be like taking them straight away?
Oh yeah, 6 months.
It's great.
I'll just have to bring the parents so that they can look after the kid while I go on Space Mountain.
Have you got a favourite memory then? I'm guessing you've been back since the age of 4.
Yes, I've been very fortunate. I've actually been quite a few times, so much so that I can't actually remember how many times I've been. It could be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I know exactly what my favorite memory is. Now, I am a huge Indiana Jones fan. So my favorite show at Walt Disney World is the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular. And ever since I was a little kid, all I ever wanted to be was one of those extras they pick out of the crowd.
Yeah.
And get to go on stage, you know, and meet the stunt guys and ladies. And for the longest time I wanted to do it, but I was always too young, you know, 5, 6, 9, 12, you've got to be 18 to go up, so I was always too young. And then the time came when I went when I was 21, and I finished university, and I went out to visit my sister in the States, and we drove down to Disney World, and finally I was an adult. We went to the show, and I was like, this is it, no one is beating me, I am the first one to get picked. And as soon as they said, we need some help from the audience, I was up, I was on my tip, I was bouncing around, arms up, and I was like, yes, me, it's got to be me. And they did it, they picked me, and I was absolute, it was the greatest. You know, it's one of those things you wait your whole life for, and it finally happens. So absolutely amazing, and I had a great time up there. And again, you know, I've got a couple of photos. So again, that will always live in my memory.
And if everybody's not seen that, by the way, that's over at Hollywood Studios. This is a big stunt spectacular. It's behind the scenes of how they do stunts on, well, in this particular, like say, Indiana Jones. It's really good going to watch. Is that your favourite attraction, or have you got another favourite attraction or show or parade?
I'm going to put that as my favourite show.
Right, okay.
My favourite attraction, and again, there's a lot to choose from. It's so difficult. I mean, it could be... could be the Carousel of Progress, because I just love that. It could be Spaceship Earth at Epcot. But I think I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, so I am really going to go for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror over at Hollywood Studios, because that is just to die for. It's amazing. I absolutely love that ride.
It's the one that leaves your heart 20 stories high when you're plummeting down to the ground.
And again and again.
And again and again and again. When you go, do you stay at Disney or do you stay somewhere else? Have you got a favourite place you like to stay?
Growing up, again, I say we went a few times as a family, but we always stayed off property in Kissimmee, which is the little town just outside the front gates of Walt Disney World. So we always stayed in motels and we would drive in, drive out every day. But the last two times that I've been to Walt Disney World, we did actually stay on property. The first time I stayed on property was at one of the All-Star Resorts. It was the All-Star Music.
Oh, yeah, very popular value resort with families from the UK.
That's right, yeah. You know, first time, if you're going to experience what it's like to stay on property, it's a good place to start. You know, like you say, it's the value. You're not spending as much as you could, but it's giving you a flavour of staying on property. And it was good, you know. Free transportation to the theme parks was phenomenal, actually. You can't really beat it. Having that Disney magic when you leave the parks as well and go back to your room. And then last time we stayed at Port Orleans Riverside. That was with my wife on my honeymoon. And I think going forward, if I had the choice, I would always stay on property because you just save so much time other than having to drive off property to your hotel. This way, you're already on there, you hop on one of the transportation buses. I would definitely stay on property. There's a lot of beautiful hotels there, which are definitely on my wish list to stay at, shall we say. And I think that's one of those things, as we get older, I might just have to try a different one each time I go back.
It depends what the budget is, doesn't it? If you want to stay somewhere like Animal Kingdom Lodge or Grand Floridian, the really expensive ones.
Let's be honest, the Grand Floridian is the dream, but that is really breaking the bank.
Have you got a favourite restaurant in Walt Disney World? Do you like to eat when you're in the parks?
Yeah. In the parks, I'm going to go with the Sci-Fi Dining Theatre over at Disney's Hollywood Studios. This is one that's been there for quite a few years now. I don't think I ever really got to experience it as a kid, but I'm really big on theming. And once you go into that restaurant, you know, it's like you're at a drive-in theatre in the 50s at nighttime. It's incredibly... it's magic, you know. Let's face it, we're talking about Disney. Everything's going to be magic. But I'm a real big fan of this one. And the food, it's comfort food. It's American food. It's classic. So, you know, you're not going to get fine dining, but it's more about the experience, you know, yeah. Sitting in your own open-top car, watching the big screen under the night sky. So I'd go Sci-Fi Dining Theatre if I'm in a park.
Okay, we'll get your other top dining tips for outside the parks very soon, Mark. But first of all, let's have a look at this week's news coming from Walt Disney World. One story that you might have picked up on over the last couple of days, there's a new free dining offer for Walt Disney World for later this year. However, I've got to bring you the bad news now. This is an American-only offer. So if you've seen this thing, free dining, maybe a last-minute trip to Walt Disney World at the end of this year, unfortunately, it's only if you live in America. However, if you're thinking of going to Walt Disney World next year, there is still the UK-only free dining offer for 2020. That is if you book before the 22nd of October this year for arrivals between the 1st of January and 3rd of October next year. There's still some gaps in that, but that free dining offer for 2020 is still on for the UK. The one that you might have seen this week for later this year is only America, unfortunately. Another big news story that people might have been talking about this week is the Skyliner. These are the cable cars that are coming to Walt Disney World. They call it a gondola system. Now, when I heard they were having a gondola system, my immediate thoughts were, oh, Italy, that'd be nice. Going from my hotel to the parks in a gondola, eating a Cornetto, or somebody sings to me. No, cable cars. The Skyliner gondola system, which will connect some resorts to Epcot and Hollywood Studios, will be opening to the public on the 29th of September. So now we've got boats, monorails, and buses, and cable cars to look forward to. Also, as well, we've had another addition to the Food and Wine Festival. It's part of the Food and Wine Festival that opens on the 29th of August. There's also the Eat to the Beat concert series over in the American Pavilion, various artists performing every night. They've just added 80s legend Tiffany. You know the one who used to go around shopping precincts singing in the 80s? I think we're alone now. She will be at Epcot, if you are there, 13th, 14th and 15th, performing in the America Gardens Theatre. And when the Food and Wine Festival finishes in November, we're pretty much straight then into Christmas season, the holidays at Walt Disney World. More details have been announced. You've got Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. The first one of those will be the 8th of November. That's a separate ticketed event over at Magic Kingdom. Definitely worth it, though. Snow's on Main Street and everything. And also, we've got Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam, which comes to Disney's Hollywood Studios. They've done this for the last couple of years. Disney's Hollywood Studios at Christmas is great. I think they've got the best decorations in the whole of Walt Disney World. Part of that, the fireworks, that usually the Star Wars fireworks over the Chinese theatre, they go on arrest. And then from the 8th of November, that's when Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam returns. This is a great fireworks and laser show with loads of Christmas specials that are beamed onto the side of the building. Big holiday spectacular. 8th of November through to the 5th of January 2020. That has just been added this week. And also you can do a dessert party that goes to that. And also this year, talking about Christmas, Animal Kingdom, for the first time ever, is going to be getting involved in the holiday celebrations. More on that, obviously, near the time, because we're still in July. Keep up to date with all the news. Pod, Magical, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Make sure you give us a like, give us a follow. And let us know if you want to be on the podcast one week for a chat. This week, we're chatting to Mark, is going to give us another great restaurant to go to, Mark.
We went on a honeymoon back in 2017, my wife and I, and we treated ourselves to one of the signature dining restaurants, and it was over at the Grand Floridian. It was called Citricos, and this place was amazing. And if I'm going to recommend one thing, if you ever get the chance to go to Citricos, you really should do it. I mean, again, it's going to be a treat. This is going to be date night, but I would highly recommend the scallops. They were
okay.
The best I have ever had. Definitely worth it. It's the special one of the holiday. If you need a nice date night, Citricos at the Grand Floridian, definitely do it.
Everybody who goes to Walt Disney World has got a good strategy when it comes to planning. You know, that's part of the holidays, the planning part. Have you got a planning strategy?
I feel like I'm going to be changing as I get older. Get your fast passes booked for the major ride early. We're talking 60 days out if you're staying on property, I think it is. Things like Flights of Passage at Animal Kingdom, or, you know, the Slinky Dog Dash at Hollywood Studios. And it doesn't matter if you're going to go that day or not. At least you've got them in the bag just in case, because you don't want to be queuing for 3 hours for a ride. You know, if you can get that down to half hour max by using a fast pass, you're going to save yourself a lot of time. Now, my strategy was always book the fast passes in the morning, use all three up, and then book more for later in the day. I'm the kind of guy who gets there at opening, leaves at closing.
Yes, that's the way to do it.
My wife's a little bit different. I'm understanding this now, because at the start of our honeymoon, when we were at Disney, we were doing this. And by the end of the day, you know, we were shattered, we were hot, we were sweaty. Then we had to go get something to eat, but we didn't feel great. And I really think the way forward, if you have the time, split the days up into halves. Do something in the morning, go back to your hotel, freshen up, have a dip in the pool, go do some shopping, and then go to the park in the evening for the nighttime ambience and the fireworks shows, and do some rides at night there, because they're absolutely amazing. You're going to enjoy it so much more, because you're just going to feel fresher.
Now, have you got a Disney must do?
My thing is always Epcot first, straight on Spaceship Earth, because even though it's a slow ride, it's just magical, and it really captures what Disney is. But I have to say, from my last trip, the one thing I would say for anyone who has not been to Disney World yet, or someone who hasn't seen it, the nighttime show at the Magic Kingdom with the projection on the castle, it was just incredible. My jaw hit the ground. Again, I've been to Disney loads, and growing up, you know, you'd see the fireworks at night and it would be great. But then I didn't know about this projection show. So when we went in 2017 and we were standing in front of the castle waiting for the fireworks to show, and all of a sudden the projection just hit the castle, I just stopped. I couldn't believe it. The grin on my face was just incredible. And what they have done, what they can do, is just mind-blowing magic. It's the Magic Kingdom. It is just magic. So if I have to say to someone, what's the one thing to do? It is see that nighttime show at the Magic Kingdom.
Now, outside Disney, yes, because Orlando, there's other stuff. You might have heard there's other stuff outside Disney. Is there anything you like to do outside Disney?
I have to say, I do love SeaWorld.
What is it about SeaWorld that you like?
Okay, it's one of those things I grew up with. And I mean, they're really becoming more of a ride-orientated park now. They're putting a lot of roller coasters in, and they're fun. There was one thing we did when we went in 2017, which I'd never done before. And again, because it's a honeymoon, we were splashing out a little. But we went to Discovery Cove, which is part of SeaWorld. It was quite expensive. It was like $200+ each. But I have to say, what a day, what an experience. We got to swim with dolphins, got to snorkel with tropical fish and stingrays. You get all your food included. You know, they've got a beach there so you can sunbathe the day. They've got a lazy river that you can swim in. And even the price was quite high, I would recommend it. It was a magical kind of tropical experience because they've got palm trees. It's hidden away from the outside world. So despite the price, I would highly recommend that if you're looking for something which adds that extra bit of specialness to your trip. Like I say, swimming with dolphins, that could be a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah.
So the chance to do that was fantastic, and I'm so glad we did it.
Anything about Walt Disney World that you hate? Any pointers for them? Maybe if they're listening now, maybe Imagineering are listening, they're going, oh, okay, I never thought about that.
There's not too much to hate about Disney, let's be honest. I might have a few irks. But I don't think it's Disney. It's nothing to do with Disney that irks me. It's more about manners of the guests. I remember on my last trip, we were on the Carousel of Progress at the Magic Kingdom, and that's a revolving stage show. So, you know, everything's quiet, sat in the audience. And I was kind of just a little bit irked that people were talking behind me, and I kept having to look around and you know, give that stare. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know they're audio animatronics, but they're still performing.
Yeah, yeah. I want to listen to this. If you don't, I do.
Exactly.
Have you got a dream trip? If money was no option, anything you could do, what would your dream trip be?
Do you know, I'd work my way, I'd go for several weeks. I work already around all the deluxe resorts, so the Grand Floridian, the Polynesian, the Contemporary Resort. I would do all the behind-the-scenes tours that Disney parks have to offer. I would eat a lot of food. Oh, yeah, the food that they have there is just absolutely amazing. So I would definitely take the time to eat some more if I could. Because every year, especially in the UK, I think it is, they do the Disney Dining Plan. But if you book a year in advance during special times, you get that Disney Dining Plan for free, and you can save an absolute fortune on the food. So I would say if I'm going to book, I'm going to book a year in advance, going to take advantage of that Disney Dining Plan for free. And, oh man, now I just can't wait to go. I'm going to have to go home and start looking.
You'll be online straight away going, okay, this time next year. Okay, I'll be there. I'll be there. We'll speak to you again when you've been again, because you probably will now. We've got it into you. Obviously, only one more thing to say now, and that is, of course, have a magical day.
Thanks, Andy. Have a magical day.
If you fancy coming on the podcast one week for a chat and sharing your Disney experiences, then you can get in touch on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at Pod Magical. School holidays are out. A lot of people heading over to Orlando. If you are, it's going to be busy because school holidays are out. It's going to be hot and humid as well. Temperatures in the low to mid 30s with a chance of those thunderstorms every afternoon. There's a few short-term experiences going on in Walt Disney World as well. Animal Kingdom. I've got the Hakuna Matata dance party with Timon and Rafiki. Epcot, if you're a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, they've got Mix Live, where there's a live alien band playing some of the big songs from the film franchise. And of course, over at Epcot as well, you've only got a couple of months to check out Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. The firework display that's been going on for almost 20 years. It'll be coming to an end at the end of September. Outside Disney, if you're going over the next week, you can see J-Lo. She's on at the Amway Center, which is the huge arena they've got in Orlando City Center. And if you're going for a couple of weeks, you'll catch Shawn Mendes there a week on Tuesday. And don't forget, if you're going, we'd love you to tag us in your pictures at Pod Magical. We'll wrap up this week's show, as always, with Andy's top tip of the week. And because The Lion King is now out, the new live-action Lion King with Beyoncé, I have got a Beyoncé Animal Kingdom-related top tip of the week. When you go to Animal Kingdom, don't do a Beyoncé. So, you know, she's famous for saying to the left, but when you go to Animal Kingdom, go to the right, to the right. If you go to the left, that's where most of the crowds are going to be because they're heading over to Pandora. They'll want to do Flight of Passage or Navi River Journey. Well, hopefully you've got your fast passes sorted for them. So when you get there for Rope Drop, as soon as the park opens, don't follow the crowd and go to the left of the left. Go to the right. It'll be so quiet. So you'll be able to ride Dinosaur and probably Everest without any of the crowds being on and without any queue times. Make your way around the right. Go anti-clockwise. By the time you get back round to Pandora, you should hopefully be in time for your fast passes. And if you didn't get fast passes, just get on the Mind Disney experience and keep trying because you just never know. Make sure you keep in touch with us, by the way. We are at Pod Magical, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for all the latest news. That's the same place to go if you want to be on the podcast for a bit of the chat 1 week. Make sure you subscribed as well. We are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There is a brand new episode every Friday, but look out for a bonus episode coming early next week. So make sure you subscribe. Don't want to miss that. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.